You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. Our question tonight is, what celebrity would you take to prom? It is National Prom Day. Tom said earlier, where can I find a prom date? And he says, do I need social media? That probably wouldn't hurt, Tom. You ever made a date off social media, Conrad?
No.
Okay. Me either. But I've been married since before social media. So
yeah, that makes sense then, yeah.
Tyler from Wisconsin Rapids says, Sissy Spacek might be fun. Which is funny because Mike Desitel, on our, when we asked a question on Facebook, Mike said, anyone but Carrie. So one guy wants nothing to do with Carrie. The other guy wants to take her to prom. I don't know what that says about you guys, but Monica from Mount Horeb says, Andy Garcia, he's got a sexy voice, has aged well, and I'm stereotyping here, but I'm assuming he can dance well. Okay. That's a good answer. I personally am not attracted to Andy Garcia, but he's a fine actor. Thank you, Monica. Gordy from Oregon, Wisconsin says, it's been 54 years since my last prom. If my 18-year-old self could take an 18-year-old Demi Moore, oh my God, heaven. Well, you can wish, Gordy. That's what we're doing here. We're just having fun. Conrad's mom checks in and says, Hugh Jackman, not only handsome, but he can dance and sing. Paula, you would be the envy of the prom, but I'm not sure how Conrad's dad would feel about that. But keep those answers coming, folks. Also, Christy Barlaman said on our Facebook, you can always weigh in on social media too. She says, Ed the Diver for sure. Well, that wasn't a stretch. We knew she'd pick Ed, right? Yeah. Kathleen on the on Facebook says, Pee-wee, he would be a blast. Pee-wee
Herman? Herman.
Yeah. Unless there's another Pee-wee. I'm not, kind of a weird nickname. Eric Rathsack from Ask Your Mother says, Pete, he's fun. Thank you, Eric. I'd be honored to go to prom with you. You'd be the tallest guy there. And, I would totally make you my wingman, buddy. I would love to go to prom with you. Sherry says Sam Elliott, of course. Sherry has said that twice, so we obviously know she has a crush on Sam Elliott. All right, we are going to turn our attention now to some fun Packer talk, Packer Bear talk. We'll even work in a car, some new cars somehow. It's going to be a fun segment, folks. It's my pleasure now to welcome to Nightlight, for the first time ever in the studio, Sam Venisi and Cliff Wall are here. And Sam, I'll give background on you guys. Sam is the brother of Jack Venisi, who is the Packers. Was he the VP of, what was your brother's title there, Sam?
Well, he started as a scout and then he ended up being the personnel director.
Personnel director.
Was there, right?
Okay.
And business manager also, in a sense, when Vince was there.
When Vince Lombardi was there, and Paul Hornung had great things to say about your brother. It was really fun to read about him. He's in the Packer Hall of Fame, but you guys are hoping to get him into the NFL Hall of Fame.
Correct.
All right, so Cliff Wall is here too. Speaking of wingmen, he's being a good friend here with Sam. Great to have you guys here. And you were a car dealer owner, Cliff, right?
Family-owned dealership since 1929.
Wow.
Got out in 2020.
Oh.
March of 2020, which if... You know that history of COVID.
Yeah. Good time good time to sell. Good for you. Did you ever sell a Packer a car?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure. Well, I have a nice photo of my father delivering a car to Bart Starr.
Oh, no kidding.
And also one with Bob Skoronski. And, of course, when I merged with the Cadillac dealer, Dave Daniil, we sold a lot of Packers. Al Harris, selling to a Packer was a little different. You were selling to an agent, and then the player came and picked it up. But I mean, yeah.
What kind of car did Bart Starr buy?
He bought it would have been a 67 Oldsmobile 98.
Okay.
And I can tell you a little story. I don't want to get too far off Jack Venisi.
No, that's okay.
Anyway, so the Oldsmobile rep at the time found out about it, and he said, well, we got to get a picture at least in the Oldsmobile publication. I'd like to get it in the General Motors publication for the employees. So Bart, if you knew Bart, he was very kind, very nice person.
Yeah.
And Bart said, sure, I'll pose for a picture and no problem. You can put it in the thing, into the GM Oldsmobile publications for the employees. And about 2 months later, he called up my father and said, Cliff, I'm sorry, but I just became a partner in a Lincoln Mercury dealership down in Birmingham, Alabama. And it probably is not a good idea to have a picture of in the GM publication knowing that.
Oh, man.
So he did give warning. I don't think it ever got in the publication. I think they nixed it.
But anyway. Sounds like he did okay anyway.
Right. But I did get, anyway, I do have a nice photo with my father, you know, delivering a car to.
Yeah.
And I think he also kind of, he was good friends, of course, with Bob Skoransky. And I think he kind of pushed Bob to say, you better go buy a car from Cliff Wall. So we appreciate that.
That's a pretty modest car, though, right, for Bart Starr? I mean, an Oldsmobile, it's not like he's driving around in a big Cadillac or anything.
Well, yeah, but remember, when you sell Oldsmobiles, that was the smart man's Cadillac.
Okay. It's a great sales pitch.
Bart was that type of a guy.
It seems like
he didn't like to show off. He didn't want to show off.
That's great. All right, so it's great to have you guys here. Sam, let's jump into... So Jack is part of the Packer Hall of Fame, and you guys are making a push to try to get him into the NFL Hall of Fame.
As a contributor.
Okay. So what does that entail? How difficult is that?
Extremely difficult. Especially since you have so many owners that are being admitted into the hall now as the contributors. And they usually pick, I think, about 50 that are considered to be picked by the sports writers, and so they pick 3 out of those 50, and that's not easy.
Wow.
So we're hopeful that Jack's been nominated. Pete Doherty nominated Jack about 10, 12 years ago, and not this past year, but the year before, Jack was selected in that group of 50 to be considered, and he didn't make the cut. This year he didn't make it in the 50. I'm hoping next year he does get in the 50.
Is it like... I think, what do they take, 5 players a year that are eligible after 5 years? When someone is trying to get in posthumously, is that more of an uphill climb? Because you're picking from all the people who haven't gotten in, right? I mean, it seems like it's a real uphill climb.
Extremely difficult.
Do you need people, like, does it help if you get more sports writers to go to bat for him or former players?
Absolutely. Okay. And we're hoping that, you know, all these sports writers are going to be at this draft. And... with Clip's support, you know, with Heritage Hill, we're going to have a program, and I'm going to be sitting next to Jack's monument there in a little tent, showing his Wall of Fame that I have in my clinic, and hopefully we'll get enough signatures that it'll make an impression.
Yeah, I hope so.
So look for those petitions around town coming up to the draft, because we figure if we get 250,000 for the draft, maybe more.
Yeah.
If we get them all to sign that petition, I mean, that's our goal, is to get as many signatures as you can, right? They can't say no. Jerry Kramer, that's how they got Jerry Kramer in. They got petitions and support for him. So that's really that's the goal. And look for Jack on the corner of Ridge Road and Lombardi. Look for his little tent and find out more about it. And he'll definitely tell you a lot tonight, I hope so.
Yeah, that's so cool. And you can't go wrong when players are saying stuff like, this is a quote from Paul Hornung. I loved Jack Vinacy. All the players did. He was a football man. That's what he was, pure and simple. He brought so much talent to Green Bay, but it took Lombardi to make us champions. Like, that doesn't happen without great moves and bringing the players. You get the coach, you get the players. Sam, let's say you're the NFL Hall of Fame, and I want to hear why Jack should be in. Say some nice things about your brother. What did he do, other than what I just read?
Well, think of Titletown, and think of the reason we call it Titletown. You have to thank Vince Lombardi. Who brought Vince Lombardi to Green Bay? It was Jack.
There you go.
They were personal friends. If you remember... they really tried hard to get Forrest Efischeski. That was Dominic Olenichek, who was the president at that time. That was his choice, and they tried very hard. I always tell people, they offered him the city of Green Bay, the key to the city, and they even included the Northland Hotel in the offer. I'm just joking, of course, but they really tried hard to get him. And Jack was so relieved when they didn't get him because they needed a disciplinarian. If you remember that last year, where they have 1-10, the record, and Scooter was a wonderful guy, but he was part of the team, you might say.
Okay.
They just needed somebody, a good disciplinarian. Jack knew Vince Lombardi. He knew he was a disciplinarian. The coach at Army, I'm trying to think of his name right now, Blake, Colonel Blake. Vince worked with him, and then of course went to with the Giants and had a very good reputation there. But Jack had just known him personally, and he felt this is the guy that can turn things around. But he had to convince the president and the board that this is the man. And he finally, when they turned down Vince Lombardi, Jack called George Hallis, who was a personal friend. We grew up together, and he was in our parish. And Paul Brown, who loved Jack and tried a couple of times to woo Jack to Cleveland from Green Bay. And the commissioner, his name escapes me for a second, he'll think of it.
Bert Bell.
Nice.
So Jack talked to all three of them, and they all called and talked to Olenichek, and they said, if you can get Vince Lombardi, grab him. And so he was willing to talk to Vince Lombardi. Vince came up, and that was history.
My guests are Dr. Sam Venese, who is Jack Venese's brother, who is in the Packer Hall of Fame, and Cliff Wall, former auto dealer to the stars, I would say, here in Northeast Wisconsin, right? That's fairly accurate.
Fairly accurate. Yeah, well, big emphasis on fairly.
you're modest, just like your clients in Bart Starr there. Okay, and I would think, like, bringing Lombardi here, you know, as an executive, that's a huge get too. He had no ties to Green Bay, right? When they hired him, he was lived on the East Coast, right?
Absolutely. His wife said, "Where is Green Bay? I never heard of the place."
So to get him to come here too might have taken some convincing.
Well, I think he was ready, and I think he was looking for, you know, a head coaching job, and this was an opportunity, and he knew that Jack had some good players, and that was one of the decisions I think that helped him was he knew that there were a lot of good ball players that were just sitting idle.
So just as a sidelight, because Sam is a little modest here about his brother, but he has Jack has 14 people in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. 13 people, excuse me.
13, appreciate your honesty,
yeah,
Sam.
Yeah. 13 people that he's associated with are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame, more than anybody else.
No kidding.
And I think if Vince Lombardi would not have been in Green Bay would not have a big stadium named Lombardi right now. I really believe that.
Is there a special section in the Hall of Fame for executives or a different label, or are they just lumped in with players and coaches and everybody?
I think they're lumped in. Like this past year, they had 3 sports announcers that were into the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
So normally you would think sports announcers would be in the Sports Hall of Fame.
Yeah, right.
Rather than the NFL Hall of Fame. But so it's pretty broad.
Okay. That's interesting. So you kind of, we'll get into this next, but let me, before we move on, Cliff, how are you, like, you're not related to Jack. How do you play in here? I know you're involved and you want this to happen, but what do you do as Sam's friend and Jack's friend, and what's your role in this?
Well, I got introduced to Sam by his son, Sam.
Okay.
And I said, well, that sounds like a project. That sounds like someone that should be in there.
Okay. Let's pick up there. We're going to do a very quick break, and then we'll jump into more of this. And then Sam has a great history. His brother was an executive, also a hotshot executive for the Chicago Bears. So I can't even imagine the conflict and turmoil that went on in your house, but it sounds like you've figured out where your alliances are. We'll get into all this and more. Matt Miller is here at 7:20 to talk movies. Right now, after this very short break, we'll have more with Sam Venese and Cliff Wall. This is Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Every time I see you falling, I get down on my knees. And-
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them on. When you're feeling blue,
welcome back. This is Nightlight. I am Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on this Monday night. It's a little early for NFL talk, but not really, because the draft is here in Green Bay in just a few weeks. Joining me here in the studio right now are Sam Venesi and Cliff Wall. Sam, I know we're here talking about your star-studded executive family, but I do want to touch on some of the work you did too, because you did some pretty cool stuff in your field. Which you were a veterinarian, very well known. You're actually Dr. Sam Venesi, but you're here as a fan. So I hope Sam is okay. All right. So Sam's brother, Jack, is there. Cliff Wall and Sam and many others are trying to get him into the NFL Hall of Fame. He's already a member of the Packer Hall of Fame. He was a rock star executive for the organization, brought Vince Lombardi to Green Bay. Very exciting background, but you have the reason I say you might be a little conflicted is because you kind of grew up. We grew up very close in the same neighborhood, not the same neighborhood, but you weren't too far away. I grew up in the Jefferson Park area of Chicago, and you were at California and Peterson, you said, right?
Peterson Woods, right.
Wow. Okay.
Close
so
by.
We were practically neighbors. You were probably gone by the time I was born, but you and your brothers grew up in that area. And you have a great story about how your brother Jack got so interested in the NFL. Please share that story.
Well, my father had a grocery store, actually a grocery store delicatessen on Wilson Avenue, and that was very close to Wrigley Field. And right across the street from the store was the Sheridan Plaza Hotel, and that's where the majority of players that didn't have your home bases in the area would stay. And so after the Bears would have their practice, a number of them would come down to my dad's store, which was usually about 8 o'clock at night. And dad would make them a sub. Well, the sub in those days was a big loaf of Vienna bread piled with ham and salami and cheese and tomatoes and lettuce.
Yeah.
Probably cost $1.50 at that time. But each player would order one of those and have a Coke. Dad didn't sell beverages that were any more than sodas, and so we got to know quite a few of them, and of course my mother got to know them all, and being that she had a son that was very interested in football, she would invite Dad and both of them. They would actually invite several players to come over for Thanksgiving, if they had no place to go.
How about that?
They'd share a Thanksgiving dinner with us. And then my dad decided to have an Italian night dinner so he could invite six or seven. And he'd invite them over. And of course, Jack was just late grammar school, maybe early high school. And I would just, and of course, I was 4 years younger, so I was really small and young. And I would sit on their laps and Jack would sit on the floor, and these football players, and they were giants. I mean, you go back to Bronco Nagurski, Bulldog Turner, George Musso, Danny Fortman, Joe Steidhart. They would all be there and they would tell stories. And I would, of course, just sit on their lap and they'd be jiggling me around on their knee, but they'd be telling Jack stories, and he was just mesmerized, and he just fell in love with football. And that had a big, big part of what he wanted to do.
Wow, obvious. And he turned it into a phenomenal career as an executive. All right, now you have another brother, Jerry, who went on to do very similar work for the Bears and helped build the 85 Bears. So what was that like? I mean, where does he fall in line in that?
Well, Jerry, of course, was quite a bit younger. He was actually 10 years younger than me, so he'd be 14 years younger than Jack. And Jerry was an accountant. He had worked for Arthur Anderson. And then he decided to finish up. He wanted to be a lawyer also, so he went to law school, got his degree in that, passed the bar. And then he was still close friends with Muggsy, who was a boy.
Muggsy Hallis.
Muggsy Hallis, because we grew up together and played together.
Wow.
And then they asked Jack, or yeah, they asked Jerry if he would consider coming in to be in their controller and their attorney for the Bears. And which, of course, Jerry jumped at. He just loved it because he just loved football. Jerry couldn't play football. He had asthma. Okay. And so sports were a difficult endurance for him. So, but he came in and then when Muggsy Hallis passed away, unfortunately, a number of years, I'm trying to think exactly when. I'm not
like
sure.
Like 83 maybe or something.
In that
right,
right in that range. Yeah. I know it was right. It was right after a game here in Green Bay because.
Okay.
excuse me. Sure. I sat with Muggsy and Jerry in the box as the backers were beating the Bears. And Muggsy said, "Sam, aren't we ever going to make you a Bear fan again?" And I said, "I'm sorry." And then poor Muggs died that next day.
Wow.
And so then Jack or Jerry kind of became a surrogate son for George Hallis.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, because that was the only son that he had. And so they were very close. And then come in the early 80s, George asked Jerry, he said, "I'm going to make you general manager. I'm bringing in Mike Ditka, and I want you guys to win a championship." And they did. They did in a couple of years. They made a few. They already had a good team, but they made a few couple of changes. And, of course, they won that Super Bowl. And I always kid. I said, "Jerry's my younger brother's the only general manager with a Super Bowl ring."
All right. This is great. And I want to add, I've got a few more questions about that. So we'll do that after the news. Civic Media's reporters are waiting to tell you what's up. Sam Venacy is here. Brother of Jack Venacy, who is a candidate for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, already in the Packers Hall of Fame. Cliff Wall is here riding shotgun, also part of that mission. And we'll talk more about this after the news. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. Clarification. It's Chizu is the name. So I have to remember that, Conrad. Thank you for clarifying that Chizu on the stream. So wherever you're joining us from tonight, folks, it's great to have you, whether you're listening on the radio across the state or on the Civic Media app, on the stream, Facebook, YouTube. What else is there, Conrad?
Twitter.
Twitter. X. Friendster. However you're joining us, it's great to have you. We've a fun show tonight. Luke Mathers is going to be here in hour number two. And in honor of Election Day, we're going to give Luke one of our quizzes. It's going to be a fictional character. And Luke did very well the last time we gave him a quiz. We'll see how he does. I have a feeling he's going to do pretty well. He's kind of a informed guy regarding politics. So I feel like Luke is going to make a good showing. I hope he does. We're not out to embarrass anyone, especially not the kid. Oh, you know what? That's a great nickname. I almost called him the kid Luke Mathers.
The kid.
He knows a lot more than I do, though. Like, I can't fix a computer or a radio station, so I can't really call him the kid.
You can call me the kid.
Yeah, you're the kid. You know about as much as I do. That makes me feel good. All right. Hey, we're going to keep this show moving, folks. I'm excited to welcome my next guest. His film, No Packers, No Life, screens at this year's Wisconsin Film Festival this coming weekend. Joining me now, it's my pleasure to welcome to Nightlight for the first time, actor and influencer and filmmaker, Craig Benzine. Hey, Craig.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing very well. It's great to have you. Nice to see you. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I had a spotted cow. I'm feeling good. So
that's not going to make you slur your words. I have every confidence we'll get through this. Still.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
Where are you joining us from? Do you live in Madison?
Yeah, Madison.
Okay. Nice.
Born and raised in the area. Yeah.
Boy, I got to say, you know, my whole life living in wherever I lived, whether it was in Chicago or the second part of my childhood in Wisconsin, everyone said, you got to go out and do stuff and go to big cities and to get things done. And I'm looking at your IMDb page today. You're like one of the busiest people I've ever seen, and you're doing it all from Madison. That's pretty impressive.
Well, I did live in Chicago for 12 years.
Okay.
Full disclosure. But yeah, I moved back here when we had our daughter, and been here for like 5 years now. So
that's excellent. Well, it's good to see you. Thanks for being on the show. You and I met a couple weeks ago on the set of Director's Cut on PBS Wisconsin. It was good to get to meet you in person and hear about your film. Before we jump into No Packers, No Life, can you tell us a little bit about how you have such a unique career? Like, you have acting credits, you're an influencer, you just made this documentary. How did you find this path? What brought you to this? Did you go to film school, or were you in a theater company, or how did you do it?
Well, I was a communication arts, radio, television, film major at UW-Madison.
Okay.
And I'd always, I guess I kind of always wanted to get into film, but I never moved to LA, never did the things you're supposed to do to do it. So I moved to Chicago with my band and was just trying to play shows with my band and see where we could take things. My band called Driftless Pony Club.
Love it.
Yeah. Eventually it was like, well, hey, I'm not using my degree. I'm not using my skills that I have. So I just started putting videos on the internet, like right around the time when YouTube started. And it took a while about 3 years of making videos before it became like my full-time job making videos on YouTube. Yeah.
That I got to tell you, and I feel really stupid. This is a mea culpa, but I remember like in 2006, I just made a movie and my friend's like, you got to get it out there on YouTube. It's this new thing. And I'm like, yeah, okay, whatever. No one's going to watch this. Like, people putting whole movies up and now it's bigger than network TV or streaming or anything. So
tip
of my hat, way to crush it. You have over 1 million followers on YouTube. That baffles me.
I do. I didn't hit over 1 million until about 2018. It took like 13 years, but,
that's amazing.
It was after making, I never really went like quote unquote viral until way later. Like it was kind of a slow build of an audience until 2018. My wife and I did a video where we quit added sugar for a month and that video blew up really big. And
wow.
Then, yeah. I was already doing it full time, but that's where I eventually got up to over 1 million subscribers.
I watched one of your videos earlier today where you lost weight and you were like, I'm not a nutritionist. I'm not a dietitian. This is just what works for me. So I want to ask you about that. And then we could talk about the giving up sugar thing too. That's great. But first let's get to your film, No Packers, No Life. It shows this Sunday night at 4:30 PM Central Time at the Barrymore Theater in Madison, right in your backyard there. Tell us about No Packers, No Life.
Okay, it's about a group of, I would say, intense, hardcore Packer fans from Japan, and they. So I have this friend who for business goes to Japan every few months, and he, on one of his trips, he encountered. They call themselves the Japanese Packer cheering team, and. He saw a guy with a Packers jersey and he followed him and all of a sudden he said hi to him and wondering what was going on. And a bunch of Japanese people with Packer jerseys came out of the woodwork and they were all meeting at the time, I think it was a weekly meeting, just watching their favorite Packer game from the previous season. They would meet in Tokyo and watch a pre-recorded game. And, he decided, he called up a couple of his friends who live in Green Bay, and he decided we're going to plan to take them to a Packer game in Green Bay. And so the documentary is basically that trip. And then also I went to Japan and interviewed several of them. And it's just a really good time. They certainly like to party as well.
That's what I hear. And I think it's so funny that they watch games that where the outcome has been decided. Like, that is serious fanfare.
Yeah,
I mean, I watch clips of my favorite teams if it comes up in reels, but to sit and watch a whole game, but how fun, you know?
Yeah. And I witnessed them watching one and they cheered as if they didn't know what was going to happen. They were just so into it.
That's so great. Are you a Packer fan?
Yeah, I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, yeah. So of course. I actually don't watch a lot of sports, but I do catch football games occasionally.
Sure. So was it how did they react? Was it hard to convince them to come on camera or that you wanted to make a film? What was their reaction?
I think they were just into it. Like it wasn't I mean, Ty had already told them, my friend Ty, who goes there, already told them what was going to happen. So I wasn't a part of the approaching them to say, hey, come on camera. But they all seemed very on board. Like they totally got it. They knew that it was kind of unique. It was unique that they were so into the Packers. And it wasn't very difficult to get them to talk about it because they were so passionate about the Packers. One of the things that I think intrigued a lot of them about the Packers was that they were from such a small town, that the Packers don't have the stadium is nearly the population of the town, and they don't have an owner, they don't have a traditional owner, and they were intrigued. A lot of them were intrigued by that.
It's fascinating. I can't even imagine. Do you have in your film their reaction when they first get to Green Bay and when they see the stadium for the first time? It must have been magical to them.
Oh, yes. Yeah, there's a the night before, they spend a whole weekend in Green Bay. So they do a tour of Green Bay. They ride the Zippin' Pippin. they actually met they got to see a Super Bowl ring. They got to hold a Super Bowl ring. They got they got a tour of Lambeau before the game, like the day before the game.
Nice.
And yeah, they were in awe. I've never seen anyone so excited.
My guest is filmmaker, actor, influencer, Craig Benzine. He made the film No Packers, No Life, which you can check out at this year's Wisconsin Film Festival, Sunday, April 6th at the Barrymore Theater at 4:30 p.m. Craig is joining us over the stream right now here on Nightlight. I love that they watch old games. That's great. I also think it's hilarious, and we talked about this when I interviewed you on TV a couple weeks ago about how they love the Zippin' Pippin'. I mean, I love Bay Beach. The Zippin' Pippin' is wonderful, but they're from Tokyo, and the Zippin' Pippin' doesn't have any loops. It doesn't have a huge drop. It's just your basic no-frills fun roller coaster, but they flip for it. What's going on there?
Well, I wouldn't say all of them did. I mean, I think some of them really had a good time with it. I think they appreciated the historical nature of it and that it's in Green Bay. And one of them mentioned how it was old. They weren't used to riding a roller coaster that old, a wooden old roller coaster. And
yeah.
They were, and part of the intensity of it was just how old it was. but they, yeah, and a few of them didn't ride. A few of them didn't want to ride the roller coaster.
Okay.
But but they enjoyed it.
How did these people from Japan, how did they discover the Packers? Do you go into that, or do they tell you, like, they're in Tokyo?
Yeah.
I'm sure the NFL isn't as accessible as it is here there, although I'm sure they have access to it. But how did they find the Packers, and how did they find the NFL?
Well, it was different for different people. Some of them had been to the United States previously. There was one, the kind of the ringleader of the Japanese Packers cheering team. His name's Cheppo. He talks about how there was a period of time where he was coming home very late from his job. And I think around the time of the Bears-Patriots Super Bowl, apparently that Super Bowl was worldwide for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. There was something about that Super Bowl. But maybe it was the
Super Bowl shuffle.
The Super Bowl shuffle. Yeah, maybe. Yeah. But I think he caught a game. He just caught some games late at night because that's when it would show. And then from there, I think kind of decided who their favorite, who his favorite team was going to be. And I think the general, that's sort of generally how I think, like, back in the 80s and 90s, they just somehow caught wind of the NFL. There was apparently a manga show or like it was either a magazine or it was a TV show that was based on NFL, on the NFL, on American football. And that some of them got into football because of that. And then I think after that, learning about how Green Bay is such a small town and the long history that Green Bay has, I think drew them to the Packers.
That's so great. What did they think of the film? Have they seen themselves in a screening yet?
I have not shown it to them yet.
Okay.
So I don't know if Ty has shown any of them the film yet, but we plan to have a screening.
Sure. Will you be at the screening in Madison at the Barrymore? Are you going to do like a Q&A or something?
Yes, I'll be at the Barrymore.
Oh, yep. Nice. Well, that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. How are tickets selling? Do you know? I mean, people can go to the Wisconsin Film Festival website and get no Packers, no Life tickets. I think that, yeah. And then that'll take you to Eventbrite. But do you know if there are still tickets available?
I don't know if they're still available or not, but I'm told it's selling well. It's one of the better selling films at the film festival. It's probably has a little to do with the Packers, I imagine. But
no, don't say that. It has nothing to do. It's your filmmaking. It's your astute knowledge of the film industry.
Sure. Yes.
My guest is Craig Bensing. His films, his film, No Packers, No Life, is the Wisconsin Film Festival playing at the Barrymore on Sunday. Check it out, folks. We'll be right back after a very short break. And I've got some more questions. Craig's got a lot going on, folks. We'll get into that after the break. Luke Mathers is here at 7:35 to take our fictional political character quiz. You don't want to miss that either. Lots going on here tonight. Great to have you with me. It's Pete Schwab and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Take it into town. Happy, happy. Put it.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, so Al from the 262 gives us clarification. He says, no, not the boxer. He clarifies Dwayne Camacho. Dwayne Camacho, President Dwayne Elizondo Mountain Dew Camacho, is the main antagonist turned supporting character of the 2006 American sci-fi comedy film Idiocracy, which I've never seen.
I've seen it.
Have you seen it? It's good, right? Everybody I know laughs hysterically and says it's great. That's great.
It's been a long time, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I'm a little behind there, just 19 years. Welcome back to Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwab. Joining me over the stream is filmmaker Craig Bensing. He's also he goes by tell people about your YouTube channel, Craig.
My channel is called Wheezy Waiter. These days I do and it's Wheezy with an H. A lot of people will remove the H.
They'll spell it like Wheezy Jefferson and not with
Yeah. And lately it's a lot about self-improvement. Like, some of my main videos are like monthly challenges. Like, I did 10,000 steps a day. I did 20,000 steps a day. I did 30,000 steps a day, different videos.
Yeah.
And I've done, you know, quitting added sugar, quitting the internet, quitting my cell phone. My wife and I quit alcohol for a year. Just various stuff like that. And then also there's other, it's basically whatever I want it to be.
Yeah. That's pretty cool. And you get to do that full time. You just pick a topic and you just say what you want to. I think that's so fun. And I saw the one earlier where, well, first of all, you quit the internet. How are you posting, but you allowed yourself to post videos?
I talk about that in the video. I mean, okay. I made an exception where I could upload videos to YouTube, but I couldn't I couldn't hang around. And I did make an exception where I could check my email like a tiny window in the day because I needed to. But you know, other than that.
Okay. Conrad told me just during the break you were in Amazing Orange, the internet sensation.
Oh, yeah, Annoying Orange.
I'm sorry. What did I say?
Yeah.
That's a different show. Annoying Orange, yes.
Yeah. I was on that at least once. That was a long time ago. I think I voiced pecans. Yeah. So, yeah.
I just wanted to say that before I forgot. All right, let's get back to Wheezy Waiter. Because it's so fun. Like, the one I saw was you doing just giving advice on losing weight and what worked for you. You did, and like you just said, you did 10,000 steps. You tried that, 30,000. That didn't work. 10 wasn't enough. 30 was too many. You settled on 20,000 steps.
Yeah.
How many calories do you burn? Like, I was doing 20 for a while, and I'm like, at my age, if I don't eat right, it doesn't matter how much I walk.
Really? 20,000 didn't help? Didn't?
I dropped about a pound.
Yeah. I mean, so 20,000 for me was the sweet spot because, I mean, I track my calories, and at the end of the day, I would have so many extra calories to eat. I could still eat quite a bit before I would hit my goal.
Yeah.
And I wasn't that hungry. Like, but 30,000, I was just starving. So I was just eating a lot. And 10,000 just wasn't quite enough to really do much.
It's not hard to get 10. It is tough to get 30. Like you really have to stay on your feet pretty much all day to get 30.
Yeah,
I think I've done that 3 times in my life and I paid for it the next day.
Yeah. I did it every day for a month. I did miss a couple days because I got sick. But, other than that, like there were a couple days where I had to run before midnight to get the steps. Yeah, that was very challenging. That takes many hours to do that.
You know, it's funny, because I have a Fitbit, I track my steps, and there have been times where I was at, like, you know, if I set my goal at 10,000, I'd be at 9,600, and it's like 11:58 p.m. So kind of similar to you, but I don't even get out of the chair. I go like this with my arms, like I'm working a heavy bag or something, and my son will be like, what are you doing? I'm like, well, I got to get my steps. He's like, well, you're not getting your steps. I'm like, well, it's movement. It's still, you know.
It's is something. Exercise. Yeah. It is something at least.
Where did you come up with the name Wheezy Waiter? I love that.
Well, at the time I was waiting tables in downtown Chicago and I have asthma.
Okay.
So, and I like alliteration. So Wheezy Waiter.
It's a no-brainer. we have a clip. Can we keep you through the news, Craig? Can we keep you for a few more minutes? All right, because I want to talk. Yeah. You posted a really funny video, my wife, where you said my wife lists the things that annoy her about you, or something like that. So we want to play that, and then I want to ask you about the no sugar challenge, because what I love about your videos is that they're fun. You're a really likable guy, and they're informative. Even if you're telling people what you're doing and you claim you're not an expert, it gets people thinking and trying to better themselves. So I love your videos because I feel like everybody wins when they watch them.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, I try to make it more about my experience rather than me trying to teach you anything.
No. I see you as a cult leader in the near future. I think you could really get a big following and lead people in a good way.
Well, if times get tough, maybe I'll start a cult.
Yeah, exactly. You know? All right. Craig Benzine is here. His film is called No Packers, No Life. You can check it out at the Barrymore Theater, beautiful theater in Madison, old style theater with the stars on the ceiling and a balcony and everything. It's going to be great. And it plays Sunday, April 6th at 4:30 p.m. No Packers, No Life. The filmmaker and the driving force behind the film is with us, and he's going to stick with us through the news. We'll have a few more minutes with Craig when we get back. This is Pete Schwabe and Nightlight. So good to have you with me, folks, on this Tuesday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Now we're partners in crime.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.